Okay, it's 10:30 and welcome to the service that is supported by the McClenney Primitive Baptist Church. This service clearly is not just for McClenney Primitive Baptist Church, its members and faithful supporters, but for all of God's people. Whoever you are this morning tuned in, we love you and you are deep in our prayers during this time. It's been such a sweet privilege to share with you during these days the precious Word of God. Let's pray together before we go forward in our service. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the abundance of your mercy as our gracious and loving God who has reached out to us through the power of the indwelling Spirit, made us to know thee and to love thee, to adore you, and to seek to worship you and to praise your glorious name as we learn more and more and about your great worthiness of our love and our affection and our attention. And that's what we're here for this morning, to attend to thee, to honor thee, to effervesce and to swell with your glory, your name's praise, who is so worthy, that worthy name. Father, we're thankful for the rich multitude of your blessing continuing to sustain us, taking care of us during these difficult days in which we find ourselves. But we know that the God that we worship is greater than all of our external circumstances. We pray, Father, that you would bless all those who are gathering, those ministers who are speaking, the cause pushing forward through the ministry of the Word, the cause of God and truth in this world. Bless your saints, wherever they might be around this globe, those that are suffering specifically because of the impact of this pandemic. We pray for those who are suffering for other reasons today, physical, mental and emotional, spiritual suffering that may be taking place in the hearts and minds of God's people. We pray, Lord, that they would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we pray that you would bless us with the spirit of worship, that we would be careful to only focus on you and think of you, that we can separate ourselves for just a few moments from the cares of this world. We ask it all in Christ's lovely name and for our sake. Amen. I want to share with you before we begin this morning, we're going to have, as I said, some maybe extended preliminaries. There are things that it's important that we share before we go to the Word of God. But by way of encouragement, I want to begin with a matter that was brought to my heart this morning in response to a broadcast today. McClenney Church not only supports this broadcast that you've been a part of for the past many weeks, but over the past three decades, they have sponsored a broadcast that is the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It's a radio broadcast, and we'd invite you to tune in to that radio broadcast each Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and you can find it on the internet. It doesn't matter if you're in Tanzania or if you're in Fremont, California. You can go to the internet and you can search The Truth 91.7. The Truth 91.7. Now, that's the radio station. It's a local radio station to northeast Florida, southeast Georgia. The Truth 91.7. Look that up on the internet at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and the Gospel of Grace broadcast will appear there. And so we hope that you'll tune in. It's another opportunity to hear a message of God's free and sovereign grace. So this morning, the broadcast took place, and it was on the subject of Micah chapter 2. Now let me pause and say this. Every week I receive encouragement from listeners who are tuning into the Gospel of Grace broadcast, and they will never know how much their encouragement means to me. God's men need encouragement. They don't need flattery, but they do need encouragement. It makes me want to study harder, plow longer. And when I'm tired and when I'm weary, I think of those sweet and kind words of encouragement, and it makes me want to pour myself into the study of God's Word. And I receive that every week that goes by. Someone or someone's send incredibly encouraging words about the broadcast ministry, and we're so thankful. But this morning, I want to share with you something that I received. It just overwhelmed me. But let me set the context very quickly. The subject was from Micah chapter 2, and it was on the subject of the breaker. And the breaker, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who Micah describes the breaker. And he's the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has broken up the power of canceled sin in our life. He has broken the power of Satan, who held us captive. He's broken the curse of the law. That's the first part of the message in Micah chapter 2. He speaks of the breaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the broken. And we are the broken. The Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty breaker, and the person of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and he breaks us in regeneration. He breaks our strength. He breaks our righteousness. He breaks our wisdom. He breaks the dominion of sin. We still have sin, but it doesn't have to dominate us. He breaks the power of Satan in our life. And so we are the broken. Praise God. And so I received this from my dear brother in Christ, who I've loved for most of my life, Brother Gary Wayne Mullis from South Georgia. He wrote this to me after the message of the breaker and the broken. He said, "I have a lot of friends that have been in the Marine Corps, enlisting right out of high school. They all say the same thing. The Marine Corps breaks you down physically and mentally to make you totally dependent upon them. Then they mold you into a soldier fit for the battle. When they left boot camp and came home here on the first leave, the difference was astounding to see that in them. Even now, all of them and others who I've become friends with over the years have never forgotten and are always faithful to the Corps, the Marine Corps. And they have an undying love for the Corps. And as they say, and they still say it, Semper Fi, which means always faithful. Your sermon this morning made me think of this. As Jesus, the breaker, had to break us all of the worldly things that we bring in, and then he molded us into soldiers of the cross, fit for battle, we had to be broken. It's not easy for us as the old man rebels and hollers loud, but I live in hope that at the end of the course of our natural lives in this world, we can remember our Lord Jesus and say, as the old Marines say, Semper Fi, always faithful. Thank God for the sermon this morning. God bless you, my brother." What encouraging news that is, that the Word of God is still going to the hearts and minds of God's people. We are the broken because of the breaker. But remember that he only breaks us so that he can heal us and teach us to become more dependent upon him. What a great lesson, what great encouragement. We thank the Lord for that wonderful illustration sent to us by our dear brother in Christ, Brother Gary Wayne Mullis. I just felt compelled to share that with you this morning. Now, I want to share with the members of McClenny Church, and others of you may find this of great interest as well, as you all are prayerfully considering when to return as the body of Christ together, to come and worship again physically in each other's company, to the glory of God's great name. There are a lot of questions about that, how that should be done, when that should be done, and many of those questions must be answered in your locale. Each church has its own demographics that has implications for that church. The age of some churches is different than other churches. We're working with a precious fellowship down in Apopka who we've been meeting with every other Sunday evening for the past several years. And that population is precious and they're dear, but it's not an especially young population. So the time for them to come back would be a little different than other populations, other fellowships among the Lord's people. Here at McClenny Church, the leadership of the church has been meeting prayerfully, and we trust under the leadership of the Spirit of God, made the decision that we are going to, with the Lord's help and with wisdom, we're going to bring God's family, His visible church, back together at the meeting house here in McClenny, Florida, next Sunday morning. Now, we're going to send out a letter via email to the members and the faithful supporters, those who attend McClenny Church. There are going to be specific processes that we must follow as we come together. Because outside of sharing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by sovereign grace, the greatest commitment that we have to the membership of this church is the health and the safety of this church. So we don't want to do anything that is going to threaten the health or safety of this church. And being very careful, let me say this, being very careful, being very mindful of following good, wise health practices is not a lack of trust in God. We can do things that are not wise, and in the Word of God, that's called tempting the Lord. We're not going to tempt the Lord by coming together in an arbitrary or capricious manner. We're going to be very careful about it. We're going to follow the direction of the governing health organizations in our nation and use the very best information from the health experts that are available to us. And so that we are going to distance, we're going to segment our seating in the congregation, and that will all be explained. We're not going to shake hands, either formally or informally. We're not going to gather after the service in the meeting house as we typically do. Any fellowship can be done outside at proper social distancing. We're going to have a means to address if there's an overflow, given the spacing that's going to be required. We're going to have a means to simulcast in our fellowship hall the service as it's going forward. This service, our services, will continue to be simulcast, that they will continue to be Facebook Live over the course of the next several weeks and months, whatever is necessary for us to meet the needs of God's people. We are not going to encourage our at-risk population in this church to come yet. We're going to ask them to stay at home while we go forward very carefully with the blessing of God. But that'll be next Sunday morning at 10:30. We will gather. Seating will take place in the sanctuary on a first-come, first-served basis. You'll be greeted at the door. We will have dear men who will usher you to seats, as we have a very specific seating arrangement that we're going to use. So we trust that you will submit to those things. There will be some changes, things that we're not used to. And we hope that you will be patient with these changes as we do those things that are necessary for the health and the safety of our people. They will not be negotiable. They're things that we must be done at the behest of the experts in health matters in the United States of America. Again, the health of our loved ones outside of their spiritual health, their natural health, falls right behind that, and we're going to see to that. We're very excited. Our hearts are leaping within us at the prospect of gathering again, mixing and blending our voices and the singing of the songs and hymns of Zion. I cannot wait, praying together publicly and sharing the ministry of the word together. So please pray to that end, and that God would bless and protect us and keep us as we come together. So more specifics will come. Now let me say, if you're not a part of our email listserv and you need that letter, go to the website, the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church website, McClennyPBC.com, McClennyPBC.com, and highlight, click on the Contact Us button, and leave your email address there. leave your email address there, and the letter, the directions for the processes that we're going to follow as we come back together will be forwarded to you. And if you don't have an email address, please call the church number that's listed on our website, mcclenneypbc.com, and we'll be glad to provide you with verbal direction about the processes that we're going to follow. That's very important information. Thank you for your patience. And maybe some of you that are listening can think about those things for where you are. If you're not a member of McClenney Church, maybe you're in another state and you're wondering maybe how all this should take place and come. Very wise minds, not my own, but other wise minds have processed this. And so we'll be glad to share with you as well. I hope maybe some of that will be some benefit to others. Okay, very quickly now, let's go to the Word of God. We have just a few moments, and we want to share at least a portion of this scripture with you. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Faint not. Faint not. Certainly the circumstances that we've been living in, of course, it goes without saying, for the past several months, I've seen these circumstances cause some of God's people to symbolically faint. What does it mean to faint? Well, whenever you faint, you're not able to interact with the environment that is around you. You become paralyzed. You're faint. You're not able to relate properly to the environment that is around you. That can happen to God's people spiritually. We can faint, by the way. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, men ought to always pray and not to faint. That lets me know if you don't pray, if you don't have a healthy prayer life, you're going to faint. That is, as God's child, you're not, if you have, I've passed out one time in my life, and while I was passed out, I could not properly interact with my environment around about. I was paralyzed. I wasn't able to function in my environment. Child of God, spiritually, you can, if you're not careful, you can get to the place, overwhelmed by your circumstances, paralyzed by your fears, you can get to the place where you're not able to properly interact with the world in which you live. And let me say this, if you're a father, your family needs you not to faint. If you're a mother, your children need you to be, as Paul said, the sentinel of home and not to faint. If your children, your parents need you to move forward in the power of the Spirit of God for the encouragement of their heart. If you're a pastor, your church needs you to lead them and to provide spiritual vision and direction for them out of the Word of God. You don't need to faint. God help us. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 8. He said, and unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things but Jesus Christ. To this end, he said, I'm preaching the gospel, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Let me say this. Stop here real quick. One of the reasons that the church exists in this world is not just to bring glory to God and so that others can see in this world our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But God puts the church on display so that those beings, those heavenly creatures that exist in the other dimension can also see the manifest glory of God. Isn't that amazing? What I'm telling you is that there is another dimension. In that dimension, there are principalities and powers. And God wants them to see his manifold wisdom. And Paul said, they see it by the way God protects, provides, delivers, and takes care of his church. That's precious to think of. You are God's personal trophy. You're a trophy of his grace and of his love. And the angels of heaven behold it and adore God and give him glory in seeing him provide for his church. And God, we've seen that in the past couple of months, haven't we? How God through broadcast. Listen, 25 years ago, if this had happened, I don't know what we would have done. I know God would have made a way then for the church. But see how God has abundantly provided for the church in these kind of broadcasts? And what Paul is saying here is that the angels in heaven give God glory for how he's providing for his church. All right. So Paul says, God's doing that according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. No, you need to hold on to that right there. Paul says that God is providing for the church, taking care of the church, and he's not doing it haphazardly. He doesn't just get up like us each day and say, well, I'll see what I'll do to it. No. Paul says that God's care, God's bringing the church into existence, God's providing for the church is a part of an eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. What Paul's saying is that God's not like us. He works according to plan and purpose. It's called his eternal counsel in the Word of God. And you're a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a part of the eternal purpose and counsel of God. You're not an afterthought with your Lord. And so Paul says, wherefore? Because of that. Because God has a purpose. Let me tell you, the people that get along the best in life, and this is research-based. It's the truth of God, but researchers have even researched this, and it's a fact. The people that get along the best, that move forward and live rich, full lives, are those that, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, they still have fullness of life, are those people that believe that there's a purpose at work in their life. And if you're a child of God, there's a purpose at work in your life. He says in verse 13 now, he says, wherefore I desire, because of that, I desire that you faint not in my tribulations for you. Paul said, don't faint because I have tribulation and you have tribulation. God has a purpose in your life, and in spite of tribulation, he's going to work his purpose. So don't faint. There's a purpose. And let me say this, friends. God is going to accomplish his purpose in your life. When all around your soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. Knowing that God is doing something in me, and he is going to perfect and perform that which concerns me, that gives me great hope and great encouragement, knowing that I shall not ultimately be defeated in life or in death. God has purpose for his children, for his church. And so, he says, I don't want you to faint. And so, you need to remember some things. If you don't hold on to these things, you're going to faint. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It made Paul want to worship God, knowing that God is accomplishing his purpose in this world. He's a purpose-working God. I'm in his purpose. All things are well. It may appear to be pandemonium around you, but God is not wringing his hands in heaven. And so Paul says, because of that, it puts me on my knees. It makes me want to worship him with reverence and awe. And that's the response of my heart as well. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And Paul goes on in his prayer. He said, I'm praying this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he prays that we would be strengthened by his might through the Spirit of God in the inner man. God's might through the Spirit in the inner man. So, Paul, whenever he writes this, when he writes these verses, it probably do well for us to understand where he's at. Paul, this is one of Paul's prison epistles, as you all know. And notice what he doesn't pray for. Paul does not, he prays very specifically that God's church, he doesn't pray for himself, he prays that God's church would be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in the inner man. Listen, if it had been me praying, and I'm in prison, and I'm chained to a Roman soldier, and knowing that my life could be required of me at any minute by the arbitrary decree of a despot like a Roman Caesar, I probably would have said, listen, I want you to pray, and I'm praying for you, and let's all pray together that I get out of this prison. That's probably what David Crawford would have said. But he doesn't say, oh Lord, spring me from prison. He doesn't say, he doesn't even say, oh Lord, protect the saints. He doesn't say, oh Lord, heal the saints. Oh Lord, make sure that they're not in poverty. Oh God. Now listen, I pray for all of those things, for the folks that I pastor, and I want them to prosper, and I want them to be in health, and I want them to have adequate provisions for this world. I want them to have good jobs, and I want them to have good relationships. But that is not what Paul prays for the church. He wants them to be strengthened with might through the Spirit of God in the inner man. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, I know Paul wanted all of those other things for them. He is proving this. He's proving this, that the priority in the life of a child of God should be the inner life over the outer life. And that if our inner life is strong, if our relationship and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is strong, if we can feel the peace of God inside of us in the midst of trial and tribulation, we will ultimately be okay. We'll be able to move forward in strength. It doesn't matter then what's happening in our external circumstances. You will go forward in strength. It doesn't matter if the outer life is crumbling. If the inner life is intact, if you're healthy in your relationship with the Lord, external circumstances can crumble and you'll go forward in strength, and vice versa. Let me say this. It works in the opposite. The principle works in the opposite. You can have it all together on the outside. You can have the perfect wife, the perfect children. You can have the perfect job. You can have the perfect bank account. You can have the perfect circumstances. No pandemic. But if you have turmoil on the inside, you're going to move out in life in weakness and not strength. Even though everything is all together on the outside, if you're falling apart on the inside, you can't move forward in strength. But if all things are falling apart on the outside and you're healthy on the inside, you can still move forward in strength. And that's why his first prayer is that we be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. You can't do it on yourself. Listen. Now, this will date myself. I love to read this. This will date myself. Most folks 40 years and down won't remember this fella, but he was a big guy. He was a big athlete whenever I was still a young man. His name was Boris Becker. Boris Becker from Germany. And he was at the very top of the tennis world. And Boris Becker, whenever he was at the top of the tennis world, he said this. He was on the brink of suicide. He had it all. Remember, I said, you can have it all together on the outside, but if it's falling apart on the inside, you will go out into the world in weakness. And Boris Becker said this. He said, I had won Wimbledon twice before. And he said, once at that point as the youngest player ever, he was at the top. He was at the zenith of the sports world. He said, I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed. I had cars. I had whatever relationships that I wanted. And he said, it's the old song of movie stars and pop stars. This is what he said. It's the old song of movie stars and pop stars that have committed suicide. They have everything. This is what he said. And yet they're so unhappy. The outside is great, yet they're unhappy. He said, I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string. And you think about it, more recent days, cultural icons who have committed suicide. God rest their souls. Cultural icons in areas. They were the icons in areas that define popular culture, in fashion, in entertainment, in the food industry. Those are the areas that define culture, fashion and food and entertainment. Kate Spade, a cultural icon. Anthony Bourdain, a cultural icon. Robin Williams, a cultural icon. They had it all on the outside. They had it all together on the outside. They had everything that this world could ever want. And on the inside, they were falling apart, moved out in weakness, and took their lives. And yet, I've ministered to many of God's people who had nothing of the things of this world. They lived in abject poverty, and their health was broken. Yet they lived in joy abounding joy and have the peace of God which passes all understanding. How can that be? The poor of this world, tempest and tossed with trials and tribulations, yet they can sing how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. They can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've seen it over and over and over again. How can they do that? Even though their external circumstances are falling apart, yet on the inside, Christ is reigning and they're living in fellowship and in communion with Him. And they would sing the song, "Let others after earth aspire. Christ is the treasure that I desire." And as a result, they have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And their external circumstances are weak and struggling, yet they have inner strength by the Spirit of God. They have might on the inside, and they move out in strength in this world. And that's what we need as God's people today. We need to be strengthened. He said that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, according to the riches of His glory. I know you feel weak at times, incredibly weak, but God's going to strengthen you according to His riches, not just out of His riches. Let me tell you, if Bill Gates writes your family a check for $10,000 in the midst of the pandemic, that's great, but it's just as easy for Bill Gates to write you a check for $1 million as it is $10,000. He's giving, if he gives $10,000, he's given out of his riches. But if he gives $1 million, he's given according to his riches. Remember the words of the poet that I shared recently. John Newton said, "Thou art coming to a king, so with thee large petitions bring." It does not impoverish God to give, and pray to Him. Seek that He would strengthen you on the inside. He will bless you on the inside according to His riches abundantly if you seek that. But our problem is we think that the answer is getting the externals straight. God says the answer is getting the internals right, and then the externals will take care of themselves. It's the priority of the inner life. And let me say this, the assignment to do the strengthening, I have to quit, but the assignment to do this strengthening, it's not assigned even to the Son of God. It's surely not assigned to you. The doing of this strengthening, that's why you can have hope that this can be done, because the assignment is not for you to be, not for you to do the strengthening. You need to give yourself over to the strengthening. You need to seek this strengthening and be obedient to this strengthening. But this strengthening, it's not even assigned to the Son of God. It's assigned to the Spirit of God, who is everywhere present and nowhere absent. What I'm saying is you are not living your life alone. You're not living your life. You may be acting like it, but you are not. You may act like, your life may look like that you're in it by yourself, but you're not alone. If you're a born-again child of God, the Spirit of God is coursing through your veins, walking up and down through the highways of your soul. And you need to come to the Word of God. You need to come to God's Word and read the precious promises of God's Word and the direction of God's Word for your life, and allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify the reading of His Word and the preaching of His Word to your heart and mind, and begin by the power of the Spirit of God to apply those biblical, spiritual precepts and principles to your life, and you will find joy returning, even though your outer circumstances are falling apart. We refuse to do that, and there's no wonder that we're often confused. You have a divine partner living inside of you. And you'll be strengthened with might in the inner man. If we'll learn to tap into Him, you'll begin to live in the reality of His presence. There is much more. We may take up this subject again next Sunday morning here with McClenny Church. But my point this morning is, don't faint. Access the power by God's grace, the might and the strength in the inner man. Quit focusing on the externals. Look to the internals and seek communion and fellowship and the strength of the Holy Spirit through the reading of God's Word, through attending to the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, by service to others, by living your life as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, by implementing the principles of Christianity in your discipleship in your life. And the Holy Spirit will stand up in you, well up in you, effervesce in you, and you'll experience a fullness that the externals of this world can never give. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer until we meet again. God bless.